can't afford, and our kids can't afford, to allow our kids to blithely wander through life uncertain of its meaning. We must tell our kids the truth. And the most basic and painful truth is that we come into this world in a vain state of futility.
Welcome to Truth, Love, Parents, where we use God's Word to become intentional, premeditated parents. Here's your host, A.M. Brewster.
This summer, Team TLP and I have been working on creating videos for our counseling ministry. It's taking a little longer than expected, but they are going well. So over the course of the summer, we've been revisiting some of our previous content. And since it's all biblically based, the information is both extremely evergreen and relevant. For those of you new to the show, I pray it's been a helpful introduction to those topics. And for our longtime listeners, I hope it's been a timely reminder. However, I'm such a sucker for milestone episodes that I just had to post a brand new episode to celebrate our 450th show. That means that this content is brand new to our show. No one's ever heard it until now. And then next week, we'll revisit one more episode in order to close out the summer and our 19th season. And after that, we'll start September with a bang. We'll be celebrating our fifth year of podcasting and getting back into all new content. And I really hope that you're looking forward to that. But some of you may be struggling thinking about anything other than the title of today's episode. It sounds so wrong. The title is, Yes, Your Children's Lives Are Meaningless, and Why They Need to Know That. But this is an exceptionally important and very biblical parenting discussion we need to have, so I pray that you are ready. But real quick, before we talk about the meaninglessness of your children's lives, I want to praise the Lord for sustaining this ministry for the past 5 years. We'll talk more about our history in a couple episodes, but the Lord gets all the credit for keeping this ministry running. You see, Truth Love Parent is a 501c3 nonprofit. That means that we don't make the funds necessary to keep the lights on. We rely heavily, really almost entirely, on the gracious gifts of God's people. As of today's publishing date, our TLP friends, the ones who give every month, send in $980 a month. We also have sweet individuals who have sent in one-time gifts totaling $1,350 for the year. That means that this year we've received a grand total of $4,765.76. And we praise the Lord for every penny. But I'm also certain that you can tell that it's challenging running a ministry and supporting a family of four off that income. So whether you've been listening to the podcast since the beginning or you're brand new, I invite you to click on the TLP Friend link in the description of this episode so that you can learn more about how easy it is to support Truth Love Parent. Gifts of any size are greatly appreciated. And thank you in advance for all that you will do. Also, if you're new to the show, today's episode notes and transcripts can be found on our blog at takingbackthefamily.com, and there should also be a link in the description. And with that, let's talk about the meaninglessness of life. In our Biggest Parenting Challenges You Will Ever Face series, we discussed many topics, all of which were rooted in our identity. Each of those episodes were so powerful and transformative. In fact, a new listener recently said, the very first podcast in the series might be one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. If you've never listened to that series, you really should. If you're a parent, you are going to encounter all of those challenges at one point or another in your parenting, and we all need to know how to navigate them to God's honor and glory. But it was the final episode in the series that talked about the crucial nature of how we identify. Who are we? What is our purpose? And during that episode, we talked about how each of our kids must discover and develop their potential, choose their life purpose, and then find opportunities to exercise their potential and purpose. Now, I recognize that some of that may sound confusing or even a shade or two of wrong. If you listen to the episode, though, it will make sense biblically because I support each of those claims from the scripture. Anyway, anytime anyone talks about identity, eventually they're going to bring up the meaning of life. And everyone is very opinionated when it comes to the meaning of life, and I am no exception. Many years ago, I was preaching in a Christian school chapel, and the title of the message was The Meaning of Life, and I covered the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 1. As an introduction to the topic, I had Googled what is the meaning of life, and I found these gems. According to Robert Louis Stevenson from his work Familiar Studies of Men and Books, quote, to be what we are and to become what we are capable of becoming is the only end of life. Unquote. But it was our dear friend Edgar Allan Poe who said, the best things in life make you sweaty. I'm not even sure what to say about that. However, Albert Camus postulated that you will never be happy if you continue to search for what happiness consists of. You will never live if you are looking for the meaning of life. As most of you know, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, written by Douglas Adams, claims that the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. But there are much darker approaches to this topic as well. Joseph Campbell believes life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning and we bring it to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. And even darker still, Henry Miller wrote, life has to be given a meaning because of the obvious fact that it has no meaning. And what's probably most interesting is that Henry Miller was probably more right than most like to admit. But Aaron, how can you as a professing Christian say that? Good question. For that, I would like to invite you to join me in the book of Ecclesiastes. Most of you likely know that Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, David's son, and the wisest man to ever live. It was written as a personal memoir as well as a teaching aid for God's people. In the book, Solomon frequently references the term vanity. Now, the Hebrew word can be translated delusion, emptiness, futility, useless, vain, and worthless. Referring to idols in Jeremiah 10, the author calls them a delusion and worthless. Both of those words are the same word translated vanity in Ecclesiastes. Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary defines the term this way. Quote, first, the word represents human breath as a transitory thing. Second, it means something meaningless and purposeless. Third, this word signifies an idol, which is unsubstantial, worthless, and vain. Unquote. This word shows up more in Ecclesiastes than any other book, and it's used 5 times in the second verse alone. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's quite a bold claim being made by a follower of God whom the Lord gifted with unmatched wisdom. But it's for that very reason that we need to pause. We just read that Solomon promised that all is vanity. But thankfully, he also provides a handy list of what exactly is vain, futile, and worthless. Chapter 1 discusses the futility of all of man's endeavors, and it ends discussing the worthlessness of wisdom itself. Yeah, I don't have time to explain that one. You'll have to check it out yourself. Chapter 2, though, discusses the futility of pleasure, possessions, and even labor, which links back to the first episode of our Biggest Parenting Challenges series. And over the course of the rest of the book, Solomon bemoans the worthlessness of riches, life, and even food, among a bunch of other things. Allow me to read a few verses from chapter 2. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female servants, and I had homeborn servants. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eye desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all the labor, and that was my reward for all of my labor. Thus I considered all my activities, which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity, and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Unquote. Now, it's my hope one day to do a family devotional curriculum for Ecclesiastes. In fact, if you're listening to this in the future, I invite you to check out our store at truthloveparent.com. Who knows, it may already be ready. But for now, I don't have time to help us understand the eternal truths of this book by working all the way through it. But I do want to sum up a few of them. Number one, everyone needs to learn the lessons of Ecclesiastes, including our children. All throughout the book, Solomon refers to himself as the preacher. This Hebrew word refers to an assembler, a collector of words that are intended to be delivered to an audience. In chapter 12, verse 10, we read, the preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. Now, take that understanding and add to it that the Holy Spirit perfectly breathed the truths of this book into Solomon and carried him along as he wrote it. That means that they are necessary and applicable for all people everywhere, Ecclesiastes is not merely the autobiographical ramblings of an ancient philosopher. The truths presented in it are repeated all throughout Scripture. That means that if we parents are going to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and parent them in a Deuteronomy 6 fashion, we need to increase our parenting Bibles to include the vanity of Ecclesiastes. The title of today's episode is Yes, Your Children's Lives Are Meaningless and Why They Need to Know That. So the first reason they need to know that is that it's part of God's word to us. And the second reason they need to know that their life is meaningless is so that they can do something about it. If your children mistakenly go through life believing their life has value when it doesn't, they're delusional. They may, quote unquote, die happy, but to die after living a meaningless life from start to finish only results in an eternity separated from God. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Also, if your kids believe that their life has value, and that value contradicts God's word, now they're not only living a meaningless life, they're sinning against God and will receive the additional consequences of their destructive lifestyle on this earth. We can't afford, and our kids can't afford, to allow our children to blithely wander through life uncertain of its meaning. We must tell our kids the truth. And the most basic and painful truth is that we come into this world in a vain state of futility. All is worthless. But Aaron, if everything really is meaningless and there's no purpose to anything, then God isn't real, and we may as well lie to our kids so that they can at least experience some worldly happiness before they die. And you would be right, if you were right. But here's the thing a lot of people miss about Ecclesiastes, and may miss about this episode if they're not paying close attention. Everyone is born into a meaningless existence, but it doesn't have to stay that way. It all goes back to our identity. So what is the truth we need to teach our kids? Am I suggesting that we look at our five-year-old and shout, "Your life is meaningless and will never have any meaning"? God forbid. What they need to learn is, number two, depending on your identity, life has no meaning. All humans are born into this world estranged from God because of the sin that's tangled in the very core of their being. All humans are also born into this world capable of worshiping only one person, themselves. We have a lot of episodes dedicated to the topics of sin and self-worship, so I encourage you to listen to the series I've already mentioned, as well as checking out the description of this episode for more links. So because your kids were born separated from God in their sin, and because they're only capable of worshiping themselves, their life will amount to nothing more than another name that will never be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will live a vain, futile existence, doing nothing more than using everything at their disposal to experience a paltry, superficial satisfaction. Which is what absolutely blows my mind when professing Christian parents don't really put a lot of emphasis on whether or not their children have eternal life, and all they really care about is the child's school and sports and eventual education that will lead to a job and things that don't really matter. Anyway, and we find though age has no effect on this reality. A child who becomes an adult doesn't all of a sudden achieve purpose when they get married or have kids or buy a huge home or win a gold medal. It's still meaningless because the pleasure of sin only lasts a tiny season in the scope of our mist-like lives. And though winning a gold medal may not be inherently sinful, doing so for our own pleasure as an act of self-worship is. If your children are not yet born-again followers of Christ, their life has no real, lasting, God-honoring meaning. And our kids have to know that if they ever hope to achieve any kind of meaning in this life. And that leads us to number three. Depending on your identity, life has eternal meaning. Solomon ends his treatise on futility with these words. Quote, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Unquote. The only way our kids can have any meaning in their life is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the only way anyone can have meaning. We need to stop worshiping self. We need to start worshiping God. Every moment spent worshiping the Lord is a life of meaning and purpose. Now, I have another podcast called The Celebration of God. I created that podcast to help families from this podcast learn what it takes to worship God with every moment of every day. It's a discipleship experience designed to help us accomplish exactly what we're talking about right now, living a meaningful life. Our kids need to know that. They need to realize that pursuing that romantic partner or that major or that job or that standard of living or that experience has no value when detached from God's will for their lives. They need to better know God, love God, and subsequently obey God. And that doesn't simply go for our unbelieving children. Yes, there's nothing they do that has an eternal value as long as they're not born again, but even believers can live futilely. Every time I sin, I'm slipping back into worthlessness. However my sin manifested itself, that was a destructive and otherwise empty pursuit. Therefore, even our born-again children need to realize that there is no cosmic guarantee that everything they do will have value simply because they made a decision to follow God at some day in the past. Our futility is tied to our choices. Christ-honoring choices made as an act of worship to God have meaning. All the rest don't. Now, at the beginning of this episode, I referenced a message I preached from Philippians chapter 1. Allow me to end this episode by continuing to answer the question, what's the purpose of life? Simply teaching our kids that life has no meaning isn't necessarily as helpful as we'd like it to be, but teaching them that their life is meaningless and then helping them discover and develop their God-given potential, choose their God-inspired life purpose, and then find opportunities to exercise their God-empowered potential and purpose, that is truly valuable parenting. So far we've learned that all life is futile without God. Therefore, the only way to have meaning is to fear and obey God. You can learn more about what it means to fear the Lord in our Teach Your Children to Learn series. My plan is also to talk about this in much more detail toward the end of season 20, which, Lord willing, will be in November. If you're listening to this episode after 2021, I encourage you to check out Your Family's Fear of God, The Circle of Learning, Part 4. So let's briefly discuss how Paul illustrated the fear of the Lord to the Philippians. Number one, life has meaning when we participate in the gospel. In Philippians 1:4, Paul tells the church that in his every prayer for them, he expressed joy over the fact that they had participated in the gospel from the first day until now. This participation in the gospel is the first step. It starts when we are grieved by the fact that we are spiritually destitute. And we not only recognize who God is and his perfection, but we also humbly turn to him for forgiveness, for life, power, and meaning. Only as we are justified and sanctified by God can our children's lives have meaning. Now, once our children are born again, they can have meaning in the next four areas. Number two, life has meaning when our love abounds. In verse 9, Paul writes, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." We have a series called The Four Family Loves. If you've never heard it, it would be a great study for your family this year. In that study, we talk a lot about the fact that the world has no idea about what real love is. But Paul describes it here as something that grows. The word abounds has the idea of increasing and being in abundance. Paul says that it needs to abound still more and more. His layering of repetitive terms is so instructional. Is your children's true biblical love growing, or does it seem to have stalled? Well, if it's never grown, seemed to have stalled, or simply needs to continue growing, as all of ours does, Paul teaches us how to mature that love. That love needs to abound still more and more in what? In real knowledge and all discernment. Well, what is real knowledge? Well, in Colossians 1:9, Paul writes, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And Peter says something very similar in 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." The knowledge that causes our love to abound is the knowledge of God from his word. I believe the use of the word discernment here is also intended to layer ideas. We must not merely have head knowledge, we need to be able to discern how to use the knowledge in a Christ-honoring way. Another word for that idea is wisdom. But Paul continues, number three, life has meaning when we approve that which is excellent. Allow me to read the next verse in context. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent." To approve something is to examine it, test it, and see if it's fit for use. There's a lot of stuff in this world. There are trillions and trillions of possessions and entertainment choices and relationships and experiences and philosophies. But in order to live a meaningful life, true followers of Christ must test each one that crosses their path in order to discern if it's biblically excellent. The word excellent refers to truly valuable and worthwhile. Basically, it refers to that which is Christ-honoring. Our kids' lives will only have meaning and value as they are able to use the knowledge and understanding of God to wisely live for Him. And the kind of life we've been describing will have another facet of meaningful existence. Number four, life has meaning when we are sincere and blameless. Again, allow me to read the next verse in context. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." Why do we strive to approve that which is excellent? Because we want to be sincere and blameless before God. Sincere refers to that which has been judged pure. It's like subjecting something to the harshest light, interrogation, and testing, only to find that it is completely unadulterated and pure. And blameless refers to both not stumbling into sin ourselves, as well as not causing another to stumble into sin. Our kids' lives will only have meaning as they are growing in their knowledge and love for God, so that they can wisely discern what pleases Him and therefore live a sincere and blameless life accordingly. Now let's have a quick review here. Number one, life has meaning when we participate in the gospel. Two, life has meaning when our love abounds. Three, life has meaning when we approve that which is excellent. Four, life has meaning when we are sincere and blameless. And then Paul ends the description of a meaningful existence by teaching that, number five, life has meaning when we are filled with the fruit of righteousness. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." This final concept is an all-encompassing description of everything that came before it. To be filled with the fruit of righteousness is the natural outcome of living a sincere and blameless life. And we will only be able to live such a life as we diligently test all the choices that are presented to us in order to participate in those which are biblically excellent and then reject the rest. And we're only ever going to be able to do that as we accumulate the biblical knowledge and discernment of God. And we're only ever going to pursue that kind of life as we love God. And all of this boils down to our identity. Are your children worshipers of God, or are they worshipers of self? Which is their identity? The answer to that question will reveal what parts of their lives are meaningless and which parts are full of eternal purpose. Now, please do us and all of your friends a favor by sharing this episode on your favorite social media outlets. And also, don't forget that we would love to personally serve you in any way that we can. So if you have any questions or struggles in your life, all you have to do is email us at counselor@truthloveparent.com or call 828-423-0894. Lastly, I hope you'll join us next time as we once again open God's Word to discover how to parent our children for life and godliness. To that end, we'll be discussing the highest goal you can have for your parenting.
Truth, Love, Parents is part of the Evermind Ministries family and is dedicated to helping you become an intentional, premeditated parent. Join us next time as we search God's Word for the truth your family needs today.